I want to talk to you about models as it refers to the church. And we've done this somewhat in the past. We've looked at the book of Acts from the position of models in the church. This morning, I want to take a look at a number of scriptures in the first number of books of the book of Acts. And I want to pull this thing apart, a model for prayer, a model for group prayer. And I want to show you from the scripture and try to help you see what I'm talking about as it relates to group prayer. So let's get started, shall we? Let's open with prayer and then we'll get started. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name and we're grateful. We are a grateful people, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you're doing in your church and in your people's lives, Lord. You're growing us up in the image of your Son, and you're teaching us to become men and women of prayer whose lives are devoted to you and to seeking your face. And for these things, we're thankful, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us this morning, that you'd help us to get through what we need to do today, and help us to understand your truths. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Tristan, you ready? Vertical. Aligning our hearts with God's. From Acts 1, verses 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem. Before we go any further, I need to explain something to you. This morning, we are going to be reading from the New American Standard Version. You see that up there? NASB. Let me explain that to you. The New American Standard Version of the Bible had an updated version, which happened in 1995. Translations of the Bible, they come from the original languages. Old Testament would be Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament would be Greek. Translations are not a word for word. It's not 1 plus 1 equals 2, and so a Hebrew word equals an English word. It doesn't work like that. There are nuances to languages. There are understandings and feelings that one language will have and another language won't. The language of the Greek language, which the New Testament was mostly written in, has many, many more words and variations of words than the English language. And so to do a translation is a difficult, difficult thing. And the scholars spend, a lifetime doing these things, years and years and years. And so different translations have different flavors. Does that make sense? The New International Version, which we keep in the pews, is what we would call a paraphrase. But not so much a paraphrase as what we would say is the New Living Translation. All really good Bibles. And the Spirit of the Lord is resonant in the words of these scriptures. But they're very different in their approach. And the New American Standard, which we're looking at for the most part today, remember I've used this term with you before, is what we would call more wooden. Wooden. More one-to-one. More one word equals another word than the New American Standard, which kind of says, this is kind of the gist of what it's saying. The New American Standard, and the reason we're going to do that, and why we have to do that this morning, is because we're going to look at some translation words so that we can get some understanding on what the text is trying to teach us. We're going to look at some Greek words, and then we're going to look at the translation from the New American Standard. So that's why you see New American Standard for the most part up here. Most of the time we teach from the New International Version. It's a little easier to read. Okay, does that make sense? Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the zealot and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus with his brothers. This is First Church in its inception. First Church is being birthed. This is why do we call it First Church? It's the First Church. Jesus has risen, he's gone to the Father, and he's told the disciples, go wait in Jerusalem, because I'm going to baptize you with power. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you in power to enable you to do the work of the kingdom. Go wait in Jerusalem. So that's what they're doing. They return to Jerusalem. They're going to Jerusalem to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is to come in the following chapter, in chapter 2. And while they are there, they are doing some things. The first thing that's on the agenda is they have to fill this vacant spot of the 12 apostles. Well, who would that vacancy be? The scripture says that his intestines were spilled out all over a field, called the field a field of blood. He sold out the Lord for how many pieces of silver? Okay, and his name? Judas. Judas is dead. And so it leaves them with 11 apostles. So the first item on their business agenda is, we got to fill this out. We got to come up with a 12th apostle. And so they're coming up there to pray. And that's what the context is. They're in this upper room and they're about to fill this out. And the one thing I want you to take note of this very quickly is these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Pos, Greek word. These are a transliteration. Those aren't actually the Greek characters. Those are English characters. What does it mean? The totality of any object, mass, collective, or extension, all, every, each, whole. All. Acts 1:14, back to the scripture we were just at. These all. Okay, I want you to get this as we look at these individual words, because that's why we're taking this apart so closely, is I want you to see that the word has to do with each, whole, every. All of them were gathered in the upper room. The next word, homothumanodon, pertaining to mutual consent or agreement with one mind, by common consent, unanimously, and back to 14, these all with one mind. They were gathered together in the upper room, all of them, Mary and all the disciples and the women, they were all gathered up there, and they were praying, and they were with one mind. They were united. They were together in prayer up in that other room, waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then proskartereo, to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication despite difficulty, to devote oneself, to keep on, to persist in. Verse 14, these all, everyone, with one mind, united in heart and spirit, were continually devoting, persisting in prayer. They have to select this 12th apostle. But even bigger, I think, than the selection of the 12th apostle is the task in front of them, brothers and sisters. They have the task of spreading this new gospel throughout the world, the evangelization of the whole world. Jesus has gone up to be with his Father, and he's left these 12 in this ragtag army, this 120 people who are gathered in the upper room. He's saying, you are going to go into all the world, and you're going to spread the gospel. And all men and women are going to believe in the name of Jesus because of what you tell them. He says, don't go yet. Go wait. And look at what they are doing when they're waiting. All of them are continue devoting themselves to prayer. As a group, they are together. Acts 2:42. So, the Spirit of the living God has come. They've chosen Matthias to be the 12th disciple. The Spirit of the living God has come down and he's rested on them like tongues of fire, and they speak with other languages. Most incredible thing. And the power of the Holy Spirit overwhelms them. And Peter gets up and he preaches an unbelievable message. This Christ who you hung on a cross, who we crucified, he is the Savior of the world, Peter would say. Thousands, wouldn't you just love to have been? Thousands have come to know him. They come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the word of God is spreading throughout the community. And the scripture then tells us, what formulates this New Testament church? On what basis is this thing put together? How is it constructed? They don't have a blueprint. They don't have a library with 500 volumes to say, this is how you do church. A plus B, if you do these three things, if you have a good worship team and you have an excellent speaker, and you have a pretty red sanctuary, then you're going to be able to do church. You're going to figure it out, and things are going to go well, and you're going to be able to worship the Lord together. They didn't have any of that. They're doing it all by being led by the Spirit. In Acts 2:42, this is the huge model for the church. Huge model for the church. What is the church? What should the church be doing? How does she do what she's supposed to do? Number one, 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Proskartero, we've seen that before. That was back in chapter 1. To continue to do something with intense effort. Are you getting this? Intense effort. With possible implications of despite difficulty. To devote oneself to keep on, to persist in. Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting. That's the Greek. That's what it means. Proskatero. That's what it means. It means to devote continually, to stay in it, to be persistent. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prosuke, to prayer. Acts, we're moving. First church is on the move. We're up to chapter 4, and now First Church is going forward. And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that had happened. The chief priests and the elders had said to them, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God in one accord. The disciples have been arrested. They're put into prison. God does amazing things, and they are released. And then they come back to report to the brethren on what has happened to them. And they lifted their voices in one accord. Phone. That's where you get any type of sound, including human speech, but normally a distinctive type of sound as opposed to confused sound. They lifted their voice. When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God. I've seen that before too. You see what? I want you to see the patterns. This is the same scripture from chapter 1. The same word pertaining to mutual consent or agreement with one mind by common consent unanimously. Acts 2:42. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. All of them. Homothumadon. Question. Why is this so important? What is the deal here, Pastor? I mean, why is praying together as a church, aside from the model that we see from Scripture? Remember Acts, the second chapter. It's a model, isn't it? Acts, the whole, it's how they did church. And that's the model that Jesus has given us to do church. Why is it so important? One of the best ways that we can demonstrate our love for God is by building his kingdom in prayer. Oh, glory. Do you love him today? I know you do. He's precious to you, isn't he, Jim? He's precious to you. If he's precious to you, then one of the best ways that you can demonstrate how much you care for him is to build his kingdom in prayer. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and this is the first and the greatest commandment, to love him How do you do that? 6, 9, and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You see, Jesus is in prayer. He's praying to the Father. He says, they say, show us how to pray. And he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, O God. How can you demonstrate your love for the great God of all the universe, the creator of all things? Because the glory of God is resident in the praises of his people. And the building of his kingdom is where the praises of God's people come from. They rise from the floors of churches all around the world. And the praises to the creator of all the world through his people's prayer. How can you show him you love him? Build his kingdom. Prayer. Why is it praying so important? Why is this? Why, Pastor? Yeah, because I love God. Why else? One of the best ways we can demonstrate our love for God is by serving his people in prayer. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things. Why is it so important to come together in prayer? It's because it's how you demonstrate your love for God and your love for his people is to pray. Look what Jesus, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus laid his life down for his people. He cares more than you can imagine. And if you can care, say that you take his name on yourself. And if you love him with an everlasting love, then you must demonstrate that love for the Father by praying for his kingdom. You must demonstrate and show your love for the Father by praying for the lost, by praying for his kingdom to be built. Why does the church need to be of one mind and come together in prayer? Why? Yes, because we love God. Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I tell you that two or more of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you for your Father in heaven. For wherever two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Why does the church need to be of one mind and come together? Yes, we need personal prayer lives. Yes, we need to go into the prayer closet, just me and God, and pray, just you and the Lord, and pray. But there is something more that's required of you as a Christian. Can you say amen? I can't hear you. There is something more. Two or more, there I am with you. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Why do I need to be more than just me? Have you ever taken apart a rope? You ever taken apart a rope? It's got different strands in it. Have you ever watched any of those shows, on those science shows that say how it's made? You know, how something, or they factory made or something. I watch those shows all the time. I watched how they made mountain climbing rope recently. It was amazing. They had this machine with all these spools coming from all over, and this rope, woo! This strong but stretchy rope, and it had all these strands. Have you ever watched those survivor shows where that survivor guy will take a piece of rope and he'll take it all apart and he'll make different strands out of it to do different things? There are multiple strands that make strength. A cord of three strands is not... Why do you need to come together in prayer? Because a cord of three strands, of four, of 15, of 20, of 30, of 50, of 500 is not easily broken. We love you, Jesus. And we're going to pray because we love you. We're going to pray for your kingdom, Lord. We're going to pray for your people, Lord, because we care. James 5. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Why do you need to come together in group prayer? Why can't I just do it in my closet? Why can't I just be alone? It's just me and Jesus. That's where I connect with Jesus. I don't really like coming together in prayer because people have to listen to me and I don't know how to pray. I feel your pain, but it's not going to give you a pass. Capiche? You still gotta pray. You've got to come together to pray. That's what we do. If we love Jesus as Lord and Savior, we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we are going to build His kingdom. We're going to love our brother as ourselves. Then we're going to pray in His kingdom. We're going to evangelize and we're going to pray and believe God for great things. You can't hide from this. You know, it would be a huge disservice to you if I sat up here and I just told you, I looked at you and I said, it's okay. You pray to Jesus by yourself. And that's okay. It's not okay. You have got to become a part of the church. The church. And the church. What were they doing in Acts 2:42? Why did we go through those scriptures, brothers and sisters? Why did we look at it? Because Pastor David was painting us into a corner. Yeah. Rational argument. You paint, and then you look up and you go, I got nowhere to run. You got to pray for one another. There are your brothers and sisters. You know, I got news for you all. This is not about you. The Church of Jesus Christ is not about you. It's never going to be about you. It's never going to be about your needs or your wants or how you feel. It's not about you. It's about And can you say, glory to God, thank God it's not about me. Thank God it's not about me because I'm a wreck. It's about your brothers and sisters. It's about laying your life down for them in prayer. You know, there are people that need you in prayer. They need you. That's why you need to be a part of that. That's what I'm talking about, is there are people that need you. Acts 1:12, verses 1 and 5, 1 through 5. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who had belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. Herod was the Roman ruler. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter as well. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the Church of Jesus Christ. He's in stocks. He's locked up in a prison for preaching the gospel. But the church, ektenos, pertaining to an unceasing, everybody say that with me, unceasing, pertaining to an unceasing, do you see why these original languages are so important? Do you see the nuances that we miss? That's why we do this. Unceasing activity normally involve a degree of intensity or perseverance without ceasing, continuously, constantly. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made for him. There's the translation, fervently. Some other translations have constantly, continually, in prayer. Ecclesia, a congregation of Christians, implying interacting membership, congregation, church. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church. Everybody just say, oh my. It lets some of the tension out. Oh my. Oh, isn't that nice? I told you this last week. I have to deal with this stuff all week long. You can only do it for about 10 or 15 minutes. Scripture's like that. That's why we got to depend on the Scripture. That's why we got to always go to the Scripture. Is it corrects us. It's good for reproof. It's good for instruction. It's good for building us up. It's good for keeping us pointed. And it's like blinders on a horse. You know, it just kind of keeps us going down the right path. It's hard sometimes. But you gotta like the horse, you gotta give to the bit. You know what I mean? A bunch of farmers around here. You gotta give to the bit. It does hurt. It does hurt. You know, we had that big old Tennessee walking horse in Montana. His name was Josie. He was about 16 or 17 hands high. And Josie, you didn't even have to put a bit on him. I mean, you didn't even have to put a bit in his mouth. You could just ride him with a halter and you just pull a little bit on that side. You wouldn't even have to do that. You could just kind of lean on your left knee and he'd turn left. Oh, I loved that horse. But then we had that other knothead. I made Evan ride him. I wouldn't get up on him. You know, if a 17-year-old kid falls to the ground, you know, there's not nearly as much mass. That horse would not give to the bit. I mean, he'd get sores in his mouth from pulling on him, trying to get him to turn because he's just hard-headed. And he's getting hurt, beat up, kicking on him, trying to get him to turn and quit going his own way. Evan all rearing up on him, trying to throw him off his back. Just a mean spirit. What was that horse's name, Noah? Zeus was perfect, right? We didn't name him. He came Zeus. I won't say that. Gotta give. That's what the Scripture does. So Peter was, and the church was fervently praying. And then further on down the road, down that same verse, and when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary. Okay, so Peter's out. The angels have loosened the stocks, and they give him a little kick in the side and say, get up, what's the matter with you? Go, go, you're free, go out. And he goes out in the street, and the angels leave him. And then he kind of goes, some of the scriptures say it dawned on him. I'm in the streets, and I'm free. I'm not about to get my head lopped off, like James. He's standing in the street, and so he says, you know what? I better go see the church. I better go to my people. I better get to my people, and that's what we have here. And when he realized that he was free, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who are also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Knocked on the door of the gate, and the servant girl named Rhonda came to help me, Rhonda. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter was standing at the front gate. She slammed the door, kept him out. Peter's there, and they didn't believe her. You, girl, you need to go take a nap. Too much caffeine, Red Bull. Many were gathered together praying. Hikanos, a considerable number of objects or events, probably implying what could be expected under circumstances. Considerable, many, quite a number. Many were gathered together praying. Suna throiozo, to cause to gather together, to cause to come together. To call together. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and was also called Mark, where many were gathered. Many in the church, the people of God, were gathered together. Mary and John and Mark, and they were gathered together, and they were praying. They were praying because it was a desperate situation, and they were praying for Peter's release. And guess what happened? The angel of the Lord drops into the situation. And knocks open the gates, but what are the things that put them in? The stocks. Kicks Peter in the ribs and says, "Come on, get up and get your cloak and your shoes and get out of here. I can only keep them down for so long." And they go out into the street, and he goes to see them, and he sees, and this is what he finds. Don't you wish that when you were in trouble, don't you wish that when you were in desperate need, that there was some desperate need in your life that you could say to the church, and they are there. They are gathered together, and they're many praying constantly, fervently, together, because a cord of many strands cannot be broken. For wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. For he would rather give you bread than a snake or a stone or a rock. The bottom line. If the church, that would be our church, that would be the local church, that would be other churches. If the church is called to be the church, capital C, the church of Jesus Christ, if the church is to be the church, she must gather. She's going to be the church. If she's going to be a church after the model of the book of Acts, she must gather together continually, constantly, fervently to pray. Worship team. Look at this scripture, last scripture from James. Look at this. This is from the Message. Another translation. This is done by Eugene Peterson from what is that Bible school? He's Regent Bible School up in Vancouver, BC. Tremendous teacher. He wrote this Bible. He translated this Bible into this paraphrase. It's called the Message. If you haven't ever picked up a Message, go buy one. You know, you should have every one of these on your bookshelf. Every one of them. You should have the New American Standard. You should have the NIV. You should have the Message. You should have the Living Translation. You should have them all on your desk. You should have them all on your back. What are we talking? $20 a piece? $80? $80 to know the absolute understanding of what God is telling you? What a buy! We call it translation analysis. We take the scripture and we look at it in the Message, the New Living, the New International, the one we've been using. And we look at them and we compare them, and is what we begin to see. We don't have to be Greek scholars. We don't have to be Hebrew scholars. We don't even have to know the languages. All we have to do is look at what Eugene Peterson translates and how New American Standard translates and how the New International Version translates, and we compare them, we do translation analysis, and is what we do is we get the nuances of the words. Glory to God, that's what we just did. And I began to understand the truth and the depth of the meaning of God's Word in my life. And my life is changed. I am transformed into the image of Jesus Christ because of His Word. Look at what Peterson says, James 5:13. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing, some of you. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together and pray. Anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you. Believing prayer will heal you. And Jesus will put you on your feet. If you've sinned, you'll be forgiven. You're healed inside and out. That's the greatest healing of all, isn't it? Make this common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. Stop taking your life back. You don't want it back. When you take your life back, there are consequences. That means you pay for your own sin. You don't want your life back. Keep it. Pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful. It's something to be reckoned with. Only Peterson could put it. It's something to be reckoned with. You are a force to be reckoned with.